Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Well, good Monday to everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Contreras with you from now until 3 o'clock. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I certainly did. Called a heck of a football game on Friday night on our Radio.com app. A big upset by Helix, taking down Cathedral Catholic. And Saturday, went to a granddaughter's soccer game. That went well. I went out to the home opener for the 1904 soccer team at SDCCU Stadium. Congratulations to them. They won their first home match, 3-1. And not a bad crowd. Not a bad crowd. A little over 3,000 for their very, very first game. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't know really what to expect when I went down there Saturday night. But the soccer was much better than I anticipated. So congratulations to 1904. And it was funny. I was walking through the parking lot before I got to go pick up my press pass. And can't tell you how many people stopped. Hey, coach, how are you doing? What's going on? You're going to talk about 1904 on the radio and this and that. And good crowd out in the parking lot. They were grilling a little bit before the match the other night and went in there and had a good time. And I'm glad I made the effort to go down there on Saturday night. And then, of course, yesterday I got caught up on the Padres a little bit. And we'll get into the Padres a little bit later on in the program. And, of course, I watched a lot of National Football League. Before I get into everything I'm going to talk about today here on the program and get rolling, you know, I opened the paper up this morning. And, you know, sports is very difficult to play at any level, let alone play it in the National Football League. And I got to congratulate Jay Posner, the editor of the paper, and who else made this decision to put this picture of David Quisenberry on the front page today, holding up the football after he scored a touchdown. He's an offensive lineman. He was an eligible receiver yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. He caught a touchdown pass. And, you know, just watching David hold up that football, you got to think back to when a few years back he was diagnosed with cancer and was playing for the Houston Texans. Of course, his brother's up there with the L.A. Chargers right now. But just a great picture, and you know, just to have him with us, let alone now actively playing in the National Football League. I guess more than anything else, what I'm telling you right now, be thankful for what you have. Because David Quisenberry had to fight for his life, and he wanted to get back into the National Football League. And this is a great picture. I know the Quisenberry family just a little bit. They all played at La Costa Canyon. Their dad was a Navy man, played at Navy. And just a great picture. And I wanted to mention that because sometimes you overlook little things like that. But just a great picture. And you think about when he's holding that football up, all the things that are going through that young man's mind. But they ended up losing the game. But nonetheless, he's back healthy and playing in the National Football League. Want to get to calls today. There were certainly a lot of things over the weekend to talk about. That's for darn sure. A lot of poor officiating yesterday in the National Football League. And we can talk about that today. But I want to get into our Aztecs a little bit, and I'll throw the phone number out. I would certainly think Aztec fans, after that nice victory on Saturday night over in Las Cruces against New Mexico State, 31-10, with the conference opener coming up on Saturday night at 7:30. It's going to be a late game. It's going to be on CBS Sports Network. You can watch that, or you can go down to SDCCU Stadium. But a good win by the Aztecs. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. And our phone number, if you'd like to dial in, talk a little bit about the Aztecs, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I look at that game, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect out of Ryan Agnew in this ball game the other night because he's coming off a career-high 293 yards against UCLA. The other night, he was 16-25, had 106 yards in the game, a touchdown, an early interception, carried the ball three times for 18 yards. But the thing that was really good is Juwan Washington did not play. He's banged up again. And you got to kind of figure, if you're Rocky Long and Jeff Horton right now, you just don't know how much you're going to get out of Juwan Washington. Remember last year he missed five games. He was leading the nation in rushing. Boom. He was out for five games, came back at the end of the year, and was good. I mean, good player. I mean, outstanding player. But he's having a hard time staying healthy right now. So they ran two young guys in there the other night, Jordan Bird and Chance Bell, both sophomore running backs. Bird carried the ball 22 times for 128 yards and two touchdowns. Chance Bell, 17 carries, 116 yards, and one touchdown. They had two guys go over the century mark the other night. The Aztecs, in all, ran the ball 47 times the other night for 291 yards. That's not much of a spread offense like they've been telling us it was going to be this year. Aztecs ended up total net yards the other night, 397 yards. But I got to tell you, this defense right now is really playing at a great level. And you can say, well, they played against Weber State. They went against a weak UCLA team. We're going to get into UCLA a little bit later on in the program. They got drilled over the weekend again by Oklahoma. You knew that was going to happen, 48-14. And then they played New Mexico State, who got beat up by Washington State, got beat up by Alabama. But this defense is playing really good right now. I mean, you look at the first three games, first downs allowed, 38, the fewest at this point since 1972. Points allowed, 24, the fewest at this point since 1975. Yards allowed so far in the first three games, 744 total yards against the defense. At this point, the fewest since 2003. I mean, they're doing some really good things on the defensive side of the ball. The other thing that I thought was interesting yesterday when I was getting ready for the program, I went back and I looked at the first two games and, of course, on Saturday night. Here's where UCLA needs to get a little bit better. UCLA needs to be able to hang on to the football, and they can't hang on to the football. And I look at the UCLA game against San Diego State. The Aztecs had the ball against the Bruins a week ago for 38 minutes and 16 seconds. You go back a week earlier against Weber State, they had it for 32 minutes and 2 seconds. And in this game against New Mexico State, they had it for 35 minutes and 4 seconds. You talk about taking pressure off of your defense and keeping guys fresh. That's exactly what the doctor orders. The other thing that I will tell you, and we'll see how it pans out, because going into the game on Saturday night against Utah State, I don't know how good they are. I think they're pretty good. They're actually a three-point favorite right now against San Diego State, and this is a home game for San Diego State. Utah State right now is 1-1. They'll be coming off a bye. They got beat at Wake Forest 38-35, and they won at home over Stony Brook 62-7. I don't know what that tells you, beating Stony Brook. Only thing it does is inflate the stats and your point per game average. But Utah State, again, will come in at 1-1. And I'm looking at San Diego State's offensive line, and they're getting better. They're getting better. And if that offensive line continues to grow the way they have the last couple of weeks, I think San Diego State could do pretty good this year. Now, I don't know really what to expect. I know they were picked to finish second in their division in the Mountain West Conference. Fresno State's off to a slow start. They were off this week, and they're 0-2. But you got some good teams in the division. But this would be big. This would be huge if San Diego State could start out 1-0 in conference play. Now, this morning, offensive coordinator Jeff Horton was on with Ben and Woods, and he talked a little bit about the senior quarterback Ryan Agnew and how he's really done a great job working as a leader.
Oh, he's been great. You know, Ryan's a great leader. He stepped in last year and just took off and ran with it. And, you know, that's the system these kids are raised in. You know, they're used to, you know, when they start in Pop Warner, that's what they start out doing, is in the spread system, a lot of no huddle stuff. And, you know, we were the ones that kind of flipped them back the other way, back to our days of playing football, you know, and I think the kids have really embraced it. You know, it's been a work in progress, you know, and we're nowhere close where we need to be, but Ryan, I think, you know, he's dangerous with his feet. He can make a lot of plays with his feet and does a lot of good things, and he's really stepped up. And I think his leadership is what is really where he's really shown has been a lot more than what we thought coming in. And he's really taken it bull by the horns and got it done.
And that's good stuff. That you want to hear that type of stuff. And now we're going to see this leadership is going to lead into conference play. I mean, this is a big game. A big game, and the Aztecs have them at home. They are the underdog here. And here's Jeff Harton talking this morning with Ben and Woods on being a home underdog against Utah State.
Yeah, you know, they had a great year last year. They won a lot of games, and, you know, then their coach went to Texas Tech and hired Gary Anderson. That used to be the head coach there at one time, and been in Wisconsin. They've done a really good job. A lot of starters back, you know, I think offensively they're, you know, got video game numbers. It's put up huge numbers. The quarterback's really good. So our job, again, is the longer we can keep them off the field, the better. We'll have to score some points to beat them. But it should be a heck of a football game. We got to get a lot of people out there, get that place rocking.
Gary Anderson, by the way, is an outstanding football coach. I know he's had his struggles to this point in his coaching career as a head coach, but he'll bring a Utah State Aggie team in here ready to play, especially coming off a bye week. And, you know, I look at San Diego State right now, and I'm saying, can they do it against a better opponent than they've seen? I mean, New Mexico State, you got to beat. UCLA, that was a toss-up game, and you go back to Weber State, the Aztecs eke that one out 6-0. I want the real Aztec team to step up on Saturday night and go 1-0 in conference play. And Aztec fans, I'm going to ask you right now, again, you've got an opportunity between 12 and 3, Monday through Friday, to call the coach and talk Aztec football. There aren't too many guys around town that, you know, they'll talk a little bit about the Aztecs, but you know what, they could care less. They're not invested. They're not from San Diego. They could care less about San Diego State football. I do care, and I want this program to continue to prosper. I want them to get to a 10th straight bowl game this year. And I'd ask you right now, what are the realistic expectations for San Diego State? They're off to a 3-0 start. Should they be the home underdog this week against Utah State? But where do you want to see this team be at the end of the year? Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We will get to the Padres at some point today on the program. That's not exactly on the front burner today. You know, I always kid my wife on certain things. I go, you're putting me on the back burner, and I'll joke, and I'll take the tea kettle and put it on the back burner. We're going to put the Padres a little bit on the back burner today. I will tell you, though, I am excited about Padre baseball tonight, not because they're going to the Miller Park to take on the Milwaukee Brewers, who right now have the best record in the National League in the month of September at 11-3. I'm very excited about seeing Garrett Richards back on a major league mound, and we'll have the pregame show for you today at 3:40. First pitch will be at 4:40. But when we come back, Aztec fans, I want you to get to the phone lines and give me a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Katera just getting warmed up on a big Monday. Thanks for joining me right here on 97.3 The Fan. 12:20 of the time on a Monday. Everybody a little tired from a big weekend out there? Want to hear from you. I gave you a lot to digest if you're an Aztec fan. If you're an Aztec driving around, love to hear from you today on the talk show. You know, one thing has already become pretty evident. That even though the Aztecs have gone to the spread offense, it's not a true spread offense. They still want to run the football. And I got to believe Rocky Long, after the Aztecs ran for 291 yards the other night, he had to be pretty happy with that offensive line. You know, the other area where the Aztecs performed pretty well the other night, third down conversions, they were 7 of 14. They went for it two times on fourth down. They were a 1-2. And they were penalized seven times the other night for 41 yards. That's not a bad effort. And some of these officials in college and pro football, I can't remember what game it was I watched yesterday in the NFL. I watched so many games in the NFL yesterday. It was crazy. But there were like five penalties on five straight plays. I mean, that's bad. That is just bad for the consumer to have to digest that. And then there were just some bad calls. I mean, there was a bad call in that Ram game yesterday on Cameron Jordan. It looked like he ran for a long touchdown, but that ball was blown dead. That personal foul, late hit on Trubisky in the Denver game by Bradley Chubb. I mean, that call's ridiculous. I mean, that's laughable. I mean, we're playing football out there, and he hit him while he was throwing the football. Just amazing to me. Yeah, I'm going to get to the Padres here a little bit. And by the way, yesterday afternoon, I live in Solana Beach, and I know all about Caboo. Believe me, I know all about Caboo. No matter where you go, for those 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's all about Caboo. You go into a liquor store, and the guy's going, oh, man, we had a great weekend. I got coffee this morning. I go, how was your weekend? He goes, oh, man, we were just busy with Caboo. And then he was singing the blues today because now Caboo is moving to Petco Park next year, September 18th through the 20th. You know, I don't know if that's good or not. I mean, it's good for the Padres. Maybe they'll make money and we can go get another big free agent guy. You know, I don't know what goes into all those decisions. I don't know if it's good. Maybe you folks out there that are into music and entertainment, is it good that they're moving from the Del Mar Fairgrounds down to Petco Park for next year? I don't know. I mean, one positive, I think, for the consumer is you can take public transportation a little bit easier into Petco Park. But as far as the venue and setting up all the stages, then I don't know. I mean, I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And I'm sure we got Padre fans are a little concerned about the situation at Petco Park. Because remember, next year, we're supposed to be a playoff contender, remember? And the Padres will have, I think, two home series left. They'll have one against Minnesota, and I think the other one might be against the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of next year. But you don't know what that's going to do to the playing surface. So if you're a Padres fan, you may be concerned for the benefit of the athletes, but at the end of the day, the Padres can bring in a lot of money. And maybe that'll help us get that guy that we need on the mound. And I am looking forward to Garrett Richards tonight pitching. What do I expect out of Garrett Richards tonight? I have absolutely no idea. Number one, I want him to come out of the start healthy, and I'd love to see him go four or five innings, but, you know, I might be wishing for way too much. And maybe they're just going to let him go two innings tonight. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But, boy, you talk about a tough weekend for the Padres. Holy cow. I mean, holy cow. They're sitting right now. They've lost four straight after getting beat yesterday 10-5 by Colorado. They get swept over the weekend by the Rockies. And Cal Quantrill, another subpar performance. I mean, Lucchesi couldn't get it done there. Lauer couldn't get it done there. Quantrill obviously didn't get it done yesterday. Three innings, six hits, four runs all earned, three walks, gave up a home run. His ERA continues to climb. He's 6-8 now with a 5.33 earned run average. And, you know, yesterday I'll go back to my guy Javi Guerra. I want to see this guy pitch. He pitched very well yesterday. An inning and two-thirds, did walk a couple of hitters, but had a strikeout. But again, he's a guy that it's a work in progress with him right now. And then you look at Andres Munoz. He got cuffed around yesterday. Again, two-thirds of an inning, two hits, three runs, all earned. Bednar came in, served up a homer yesterday. Two-thirds of an inning, gave up the one earned run. Robbie Erlen came in and was the mop-up man. One inning, three hits, two earned runs. I mean, and then I read the paper today. And I got to tell you, you know, being an old baseball coach, I used to tell my players, no matter where we played, you got to play the environment. Every place you play, the mound is 6 feet or 60 feet, 6 inches. And you got to play the environment, whether it's thick grass or thin grass, sun in your face, whatever. You got to play the environment. And all I hear about is how the Padres can't pitch in Denver. You know what? That's BS. If you make quality pitches in Denver, like you do at Petco Park or Chase Field or Dodger Stadium, you're going to get people out. You know, I don't want to hear about excuses. I'm looking at a ball club right now that's limping to the finish line. And I mean limping to the finish line. They're 68-81. I mean, I don't know. I mean, 2 weeks from today, we may be hearing about some changes within the organization. Maybe not the first day after the last game of the season, but shortly thereafter. And Adam Klug, I'm going to remind him to make sure that he has people ready to cover press conference down at Petco Park. Because I do think we're going to have a press conference. I think there are going to be some changes with this organization. I'm not seeing any development right now. I'm seeing a lot of guys going backwards. I'm seeing a lot of guys that are already getting their tee times and their vacation set for the offseason. I don't know about you. If you're a Padre fan, are you a little disappointed about the way this ball club's going about business right now on the field? I know it's okay to play a lot of different guys, but you got to play guys that are going to get the job done. I mean, I'm looking right now, Will Myers, we can say whatever we want about Will Myers. Will Myers right now is playing some pretty good baseball. Has he had a good year? No. He did hit his 21st double yesterday in his 18th homer, a two-run shot. He's hitting .246, two hits yesterday. And I'm looking at Manny Machado. You know that Manny Machado, even though he's got the 30 home runs right now, he's hitting 10 points higher than Will Myers. He's hitting .256. And I know batting average doesn't count any longer. But at the end of the day, I'm expecting a hell of a lot more out of Manny Machado than just 30 home runs. Yeah, he's played a good third base. Has he played inspirational baseball for the last 6 weeks? Not really. I mean, he's going about his business. Has he dogged it a little bit here and there? Absolutely. He has dogged it a little bit. Has it necessarily hurt the ball club? No, because he knows kind of when to dog it and when not to dog it. But I'm a little bit underwhelmed by Manny this year. He's given away a lot of at-bats. And again, he's got the 30 home runs. He got that one over the weekend in Colorado. Hosmer's had a good year to this point. How about him getting ejected the other night by Carlos Torres, the third base umpire? You know, if he'd have yelled terrible once, he'd have probably gotten away with it. But he went at him again from across the field, and the umpire ran him out of the ball game. You know, the umpire probably needed to turn around, walk the other way. Andy ended up getting tossed out of that ball game. Umpires have not had a great year. We've talked about that. But I want to talk about this Padre ball club. And I'm looking right now. I want to believe that this team can contend, but I'm not seeing any signs at all that they realistically can contend next year. Is there anybody out there that believes this team really and truly can contend in 2020 with what they've got right now? I don't care if you bring up Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, and a healthy Garrett Richards. You got to go get more on the mound. Can you trust Eric Lauer for a third year in the rotation? Cal Quantrill's gone backwards. Has he hit a wall? I don't know. But he sure last 4 or 5 starts has been awful. Luke Casey, I'm going to give him, I don't want to necessarily give him a mulligan because you got to go out there and get the job done day in and day out. But I think Joey Luke Casey has made a lot of strides this year, at least for me. Okay, Andy Green from postgame yesterday. I want to hear what he has to say about the pitching struggles at Coors Field.
Haven't got good starts here. For the most part, the bullpen's been fine. Today was a little bit of a hiccup. We put some guys in situations that were probably a little unique for them, but at some point in time, Munoz will have to come in with an inherited runner on in a big situation and go one plus, and seemed like a good opportunity after 4 days down to give him the chance to do that. So overall, though, bullpen's been pretty solid here. Starting pitching has been a trouble spot for us here.
Needless to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. I need some help today because I want to be the most positive guy in the world regarding the Padres, but I'm not seeing those signs right now. We're going to step aside here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, I want to fill these lines up with Padre calls, and you tell me what your off-season move would be to get this ball club in pennant contention for next year. And again, you know, the Dodgers just won their 7th straight division title. I don't know if you can overtake the Dodgers in one off-season. I'll let you decide on that. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you're the Padres, what are you going to do to get this ball club in contention for next year when you've been telling everybody for the last 3 years that 2020 was going to be the year you're going to make a run at a playoff spot? I want to hear you play general manager next. Coach John Quintero, we're going to 3 o'clock today. Thanks for joining me right here on 97.3 The Fan. 12:36 on a Monday. Coach John Quintero with you until 3 o'clock, and we'll have a very short Gwynn and Chris program today till about 3:40, and then we got the Padre pregame show. They'll get you ready for the action tonight. Game one of a 4-game series, 3 nights at 4:40, and then a day game on Thursday. We won't have a show on Thursday, but I'll be back in on Friday. We're talking a lot of Padres this segment. Love to hear from you. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. If you're sitting there chomping on your tuna fish sandwich or turkey sandwich, hey, dial me up. Wash it down with a drink and give me a call, 833-288-0973. If you're the Padres right now, what off-season moves are you going to make? You've got question marks all over the diamond, let alone on the mound, okay? You got to figure out what you're doing with the pitching staff, but I want to get out to your phone calls this afternoon. Let's start off with Richard in Hillcrest. Richard, you're batting leadoff with Coach John Quintero. How you doing today?
Hey, Coach, I'm doing somewhat okay, trying to get over this lousy weekend of baseball.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the only positive thing this weekend was the Aztecs won a football game. That's about it for me.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's my thing. I like to bring up a couple points. First of all, their record. They've got 13 games left. They'll be lucky if they get to 74, maybe 75 wins this year. Which,
well, they're sitting at 68 right now, and you know, they're the next 4 days, they're playing a team that is playing as well as anybody in the National League in the month of September. I mentioned right now Milwaukee 11-3 in September, and you know, they're right on the heels of a wild card, so they're going to continue to push, and they're not going to let up. So the Padres better be ready to compete.
I definitely agree, Coach. And here's my thing. I truly am starting to believe, watching them play, that this entire coaching staff may have to be considered for a change in direction, in my opinion.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to disagree with that. I think any organization, I know when I was a general manager of the Sockers, even when we won a championship, we won three of them while I was there, we always felt that we needed to do things a little bit better. And, you know, we evaluated a lot of different things, our players, our front office, what I was doing, what I wasn't doing. And, you know, I think every organization worth their salt is going to do that. And I think right now, with the way this ball club has become very stale, and I don't see a lot of positives moving forward with some of these players, you know, I'm real concerned about the development aspect once these guys get to the big leagues. I'm not seeing it from a high number of players. So, you know, I would agree. I think that they've got to do a real good, hard study, and I would certainly think they've already pretty much know what direction they want to go and who they're going to invite back and who's going to be let go. But, again, we're not going to know probably until a day or two or three after the season's over.
And here's my last point, Coach. As a fan, we invest our time in following the Padres, whether we go to the games, watch them on TV, or listen to them on the radio. I'm investing my time in your product. If I'm being promised year in and year in that they're going to be better the next year and better the year after that, I'm willing to invest my time. But there comes a point in time, Coach, where that message gets stale and old. I need to see results. I really do. And I'll give them next year. But I don't know how much further I'm going to give them. And I love the Padres. But we need to see some wins, Coach. Don't you agree?
I 100% agree with you, Richard. Thank you very much for the phone call. And I do think there's a high percentage of fans out there that are starting to get a little restless. I'm not saying that they're, you know, going the other direction, but I think they're getting restless. And it's like we talked about the last month or so. Next year at this time, if this team is 68-81, that's going to be unacceptable. And it's just going to be unacceptable. I mean, you've got these prospects, if they're that great, they've got to come up here and do something dynamic. And again, I go back to Kyle Glazer a couple of weeks ago when I asked him about how did the Dodgers bring all their guys up? How did they bring their guys up and their impact players? So, yeah, we bring guys up here and we give them, you know, 2 months to, you know, hit 170 and then, you know, hopefully they're going to, you know, get over the 200 mark. I will say Luis Urias is playing a little bit better baseball. That opens up a line at 833-288-0973. I'm giving you an open forum today in this first hour to call in and talk Padre baseball after a real rough weekend. Yesterday, I thought maybe they'd find a way to win at least one game in Colorado, and they get smoked yesterday 10-5. Bill in San Diego, you're next up with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. Nice to have you today, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good, good. Hey, big fan of your show. Listened to you for years, and really glad you're back on the radio.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about Andy Green. You know, I think the players are a reflection of their leadership. And he's a passive manager. I don't see much motivation. Certainly not, you know, behind the scenes by any stretch. But, you know, looking at the product on the field, there's not a lot of enthusiasm, not a lot of sense of urgency. And just wondering what your thoughts are on his return for next year.
I think he's under a two-year contract. If the Padres stay the way they've gone as far as being very patient with their players and development in the organization of building that farm system, I would think Andy's going to be back. But if they're not happy with the way these guys are going about their business at the big league level, then I think Andy probably gets fired here in a little over a couple of weeks. I could see right now, to be honest with you, I could see it go either way.
Okay. Yeah, I just, I coached for years, as you have, and, you know, players respond to, you know, lighting a fire under them, and you know, they that's the way they respond, and, you know, I don't think it's any different from amateur to professional, and, you know, I think, you know, especially with the product on the field, there's got to be some fire lit underneath them, and paying customers, you know, we deserve and expect a better product.
Well, Bill, let me put it this way. I think Andy Green is a good young manager. I think he's extremely well prepared night in, night out. Has he been given a tough hand? Yes. But did Andy Green know that he was going to be dealt a tough hand when he accepted that job in the offseason of 2015? Absolutely. I'm disappointed with the way this ball club has performed. First 3 years, you know, I didn't have a problem because they didn't have much. They didn't have a major league roster. Yes, they've got a very young baseball team, the youngest in baseball, and we've talked about that. But at some point in time, you got to pull up your bootstraps and you got to find a way to get the job done. And for me, this team has gone backwards. Now you could say, well, you know, Tatis has been out a number of games this year. There's no question about that. But that still doesn't explain why some of these guys are underperforming. And I think a lot of them have underperformed this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, Tatis has been a breath of fresh air. And, you know, watching him play is really exciting. You know, Machado, you know, he's feeling it. I'm happy. You know, for the most part, he has slacked off a little bit. But I'd like to see more out of Myers, and Hosmer's done well.
Well, hey, Bill, I appreciate the phone call. You have a great day and look forward to hearing from you again. And thanks for the nice compliment as well.
All right, you too, Coach.
All right, you heard what Bill had to say. I want to hear what you have to say. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Hey, I'm completely honest. I don't have an axe to grind at all with Andy Green. I think Andy Green, number one, is a good manager. I think he's been given a tough hand here in San Diego. I think he's extremely well-prepared manager, night in and night out. Whether you like him or not, the guy is busting his hump. At the end of the day, though, I think the Padres could go any way. They could either keep him because he is under contract for 2 more years, or they could let him go. And it'll be interesting to see what that decision is going to be. T on a car phone, you're next up with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for the call.
Well, I was gone for about 5 days, and I'm just back in town, and I'm looking back at what happened over the weekend, and it's, you know, where do you start? I mean, to me, if you look, since you're talking about Green, for me, if you go back to the day he was hired, I could almost guarantee you that man, by the poor decisions that he's made, guaranteed he's lost 70, almost up to 100, 110 games by himself by poor decisions. And if you go back to the day he was hired, just go back per season, I could guarantee you he's lost that many games by himself. Not including our pathetic players.
Well, let me ask you this, T. I mean, that's a big statement right there. I mean, managers, you know, they always say managers are usually good for about 4 to 5, maybe 6 wins a year on a good year, and managers lose games, but they don't win them. What's your biggest beef with Andy Green?
I've counted 20 losses so far this year that he's made poor decisions where he keeps the pitchers in there for such a long time. He doesn't go in there and make the switch. You know, he doesn't put it down the squeeze button. He doesn't bunt the runners over. It's just poor decisions. I'm going to tell you who I wish the Padres could have as a manager.
Okay.
And he's in the organization right now. I wish they could bring Moises Alou. That's who I would love to have as a manager.
Well, I will tell you this. There has been a little talk around baseball for the last 2 months that Moises Alou may be the next Padre manager. I don't know if that's fact or fiction, but I know when the ball club was down in Miami, those rumors started when they were playing the Marlins down there, and Moises has been in the organization now for a number of years, and he's kind of a confidant of A.J. Preller. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that.
Coach, regarding the Padres' future, it all starts with pitching. If you don't have pitching, you're not going to go anywhere. I don't care what kind of hitting you have.
I agree.
I want to have at least. I know the Padres are you know, it's a small market team, but you have to have at least minimum 2, sometimes 3 power horses to win the World Series. I don't want to just be go to the playoffs. I want to win the World Series, because at the end of the day, if you don't win it, you're a loser, period.
Hey, I'll tell you what, where we've been since 2006, I'd like to get to the playoffs. Least of all, it's something that we're building on. And again, you know, if you get in as a wild card, you may go out in one game, but least of all, you're making progress. You're keeping your fans interested. But, you know, T, I agree with you. You got to have 2 shooters at the top of that rotation. Thanks very much for the phone call. You have a great day. Not a real fan of Andy Green. I will tell you, and I'll be very honest, Moises Alou Blues name has been kicked around quite a bit here over the last couple of months behind the scenes, not necessarily with the Padres, but around baseball, that he could be, if the Padres made a change at manager, he could be the Padres' new manager. There are a lot of other good people out there as well. Mike Socha's looking to get back in. Joe Girardi, who knows, Joe Maddon may be looking to get back in as well. Let's get to today's Coach's Corner.
Coach Ken Terra breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan.
Happy Monday to you, Coach.
Hey, happy Monday to you, Adam. And the Atlanta Falcons got a big win last night.
I'm well aware.
I know you are.
I was on the edge of my seat all night last night.
That turned out to be a really good game last night, though.
Not from my perspective. They blew a big lead and held on by the skin of their, what's it called?
But for the viewing audience, it went down to the final play.
Sure, if you weren't invested in either of the teams, it was a great game.
That was me.
Number one.
Earlier today, Giants head coach Pat Shurmur was asked about the quarterback position after dropping to 0-2. And he didn't really give a firm commitment to Eli Manning.
I think we always do that, you know, and obviously Eli's been our starter to this point. And, you know, I'm not really ready to get into any of those conversations about any position. No, we're going to talk about everything we're doing moving forward. You know, I think that's fair at this point. You know, we're 0-2. There's areas we got to get better. And so we're going to address all areas and try to find ways to put a winning performance on the field.
After just two games, do you think the Giants should go with rookie Daniel Jones?
Not yet, but it's getting very close. In fact, Adam, I got to be honest, I think it's really cool that you put that in there today, because when I was driving to the station, I was thinking about this situation. I want to see Daniel Jones, but I think I got to stay with Eli for another week or two and then go a different direction. If he can't get it turned around and they're 0-3, 0-4, I'd probably go and get Daniel Jones in there, and that'll be the end of Eli Manning in New York.
Number two.
Antonio Brown made his Patriots debut over the weekend, and today Sports Illustrated dropped an in-depth report uncovering another woman making similar allegations against Brown as the first woman did. The league is set to meet with Brown's first accuser today. Do you think the NFL will place Brown on the commissioner's exempt list at some point this season?
I think there's a high probability that that's going to happen. And one came out, another's going to come out. Who's to say there won't be two or three more come out? He may become the Harvey Weinstein of the National Football League. You never know.
Number three.
The NBA has always looked the other way when it came to tampering, but in a league memo distributed over the weekend, the association said they're looking to crack down on tampering and could fine teams up to $10 million if they're found guilty of tampering. If this is passed, do you think such a heavy monetary penalty will eliminate tampering in the NBA?
I don't know. I mean, all these guys have agents. It seems like these agents are doing more of the tampering than the teams are right now. They're trying to set their clients up on the right team with the right payday and the right players to play with them. The NBA can do whatever they want and make it look good out front, but these players are always talking, going to charity events together. I mean, I don't know how you're going to police that, Adam.
Number four.
First it was Christian Yelich, and now it's Mike Trout, who will miss the rest of the season with a right foot injury. That's two of the leading MVP candidates in all of baseball having their seasons cut short early. Will either Trout or Yelich still win MVP?
I think Bellinger will probably win it for the Dodgers because they've had such a big year, even though he's trying to stay over the 300 mark right now, average-wise. You know, I think Mike Trout will probably win it, but I got to tell you, I was looking at Alex Bregman's numbers last night. His numbers are really, really good, but Trout's numbers are off the chart, and he's going to have surgery for Morton's neuroma. How about that? A tissue issue in his foot.
Tissue issue.
Yeah.
Number five.
The relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur is the topic that won't go away, no matter how much they'd like it to. Huh. During yesterday's win over the Vikings, the two were seen getting animated on the sideline, though Rodgers downplayed the incident after the game.
I was actually kind of surprised that, it was about the look on defense. I was actually kind of surprised that he was coming over to talk about that. But We got it all sorted out there on the sideline, and it actually wasn't a big deal. He's just, you know, as am I, we're, you know, a little animated at times, but I can't say it was, you know, we were yelling how much we love each other, but we definitely weren't MFing each other or anything. It was talking about the look there and you know, get on the same page.
All right. Roger said this wasn't a big deal. Do you agree with him?
Well, I would say this. Luckily, they're 2-0 rather than 0-2. I mean, they're still not on the same page. I don't know where this relationship's going to go when they get a little bit deeper in the season and they have a couple of tough losses. I mean, Green Bay's not a bad team. I don't know if they're going to win their division. They might. That was a big win yesterday over Minnesota. But I don't know. It just seems like these guys are not on the same page. I don't know if they're going to be able to get on the same page. I think Rodgers handled it pretty well yesterday, but again, everything's being caught on tape. I saw the other situation yesterday with Jalen Ramsey and Doug Marrone. We're hearing more and more about this. And, you know, Adam, I'll be honest, I've been on NFL sidelines. I've been on high school sidelines, and it's emotional sports. Stuff like that happens, and 5 minutes later it's forgotten. But this thing with Rodgers and LaFleur seems to go back to early in preseason training camp.
And this one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
Yeah, I don't know. This situation in Green Bay will be interesting. Some interesting games yesterday. And, you know, we haven't even talked about the Chargers losing to Detroit. We're going to definitely get into that in hour number two. The Rams get a win up there against the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees now going to be out probably about 6 weeks. Going to have surgery on that thumb. He injured a ligament. We got about Roethlisberger going to be gone for the year. We got a lot to cover. Coming up a little bit later on at 1:35 today, we're going to be joined by Jason Cole. We'll talk NFL with him. We're going to get into UCLA and USC today on the program. I want to get to a lot of phone calls. I really enjoyed the Padre participation. We can stay with that as well. Everyone's got an opinion on the situation with Andy Green and the Padres. And again, if you're just tuning in, I think the situation with Andy Green, even though he's got 2 years to go on his contract, I think it's very much up in the air right now because this ball club is performing very poorly down the stretch. I mean, you think about it. They got off to a start in March. They were 3-1. Then they went 14-12, and they've not had a winning month since then. And you go back to July. I mean, July was just a disaster, 8-16. And again, you can use the excuse that Fernando Tatis Jr.'s not been there, but that doesn't explain why a lot of these other guys have underperformed all year long. I mean, when I look at the Padre roster, the guys that have performed well this year, Eric Hosmer, I think you've got to throw in there Manny Machado, even though I'm a little disappointed he's hitting only .256 right now. I know he's got his 30 home runs, but he hasn't really swung the bat all that well the last 6 weeks. And after that, I got to be honest, it's slim pickings. I mean, aside from Tatis, Machado, and Hosmer, and those are the guys, for the most part, you'd expect to get the job done. You know, we didn't know what Tatis was going to bring to the table as a rookie. But the other guys have all underperformed. Hunter Renfro, a 31 homers, only hit 4 homers since the All-Star break. He's been hurt. We'll get back to your phone calls. We're going to talk NFL in hour number two. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Quintero, 1 hour down, 2 to go. Join me today right here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.